I've been able to speak a couple times in front of the church, and it's always a humbling thing. I never know that I have the right words or that I'm really worthy to come up here. I just don't believe that, but I do appreciate it. There's so many spiritual giants in this church. I've grown up in this church since I was a little boy, and there's so much to my testimony, but I'm just going to share a little bit with you about it this morning. I want to start when I was a senior in high school at Choctahatchee High School. And my goal all in high school was to get out of high school and sell real estate. That was my dream. That was my goal. And so during my senior year in high school, I took some classes at the local junior college to prepare me. So in March of 1981, I set for the exam, and I passed that exam, and I got my real estate license, and I was set to go. So when I graduated from high school, I spent one full year selling real estate. I also had a little paper route, and it was about this time of year, and you had to fill out your income tax return, and I had an incredible year in real estate. Do you know how much money I made selling real estate as an 18-year-old boy? Nothing. I didn't make a dime. I didn't make a penny. And folks, I felt like a failure. I was a failure. In front of my face, my whole dreams and my life were evaporating, and I felt like a failure. Another 2 months go by, no change, I hadn't sold anything, didn't make any money. And then I saw this ad, and I don't remember where I saw it, but I saw this ad about this guy who was going to have this course in Destin, a 1 or 2 day course, I don't remember. And his name, I do remember his name. His name was Dr. Mark Victor Hansen. You may recognize his works. He had not written any books at the time, but about 10 years later, after I took his class, he wrote a book called Chicken Soup for the Soul, and many other books after that. Well, I took this class from this man, and I don't really remember much about the class, but I do remember he started talking about success and failure. And when I heard the word failure, I said, that's me. And he got my attention. And he talked about a story that we all know, and it's about Thomas Edison, who failed 1,001 times before he invented the incandescent light bulb, right? He said this, he said, you know, Thomas Edison, we don't remember him for his failures, we remember him for his successes. Then he talked about a hero of mine, Babe Ruth. You know, he said this, he said, Babe Ruth was a failure. I said, what? He said, yeah, Babe Ruth struck out more times than anybody in the history of the game. He was the biggest failure in baseball. But we don't remember Babe Ruth for his failures. We remember him for his successes. Then he said this, and I will take it to my grave. He breathed life into me. He said, I'd rather try something great, tremendous, and fail and try nothing at all and succeed. And as a 19-year-old boy, I sat in the back of that room, and I said, that's my problem. That's my problem. I'm not giving myself a chance to succeed because I'm so afraid of failing. I won't swing the bat. And from that day forward, I said to myself, and I committed to myself, that I was going to stand at that plate of life. I was going to put that bat in my hand, and I was going to take a swing. I didn't care if I hit the ball or not, but I was going to give myself a chance. And you know what? I think that's what Philip did with this awakening series. He stood at the plate, and he was pitch to pitch by Dallas Gray in the form of a series. An awakening series. And I personally didn't think it was going to be a success. I thought 6 o'clock in the morning. Are you kidding me? I thought it was going to be me and 7 other insomniacs up here. But Philip stood at that plate for our church. He put that bat in his hand and he took a swing. And I, for one, want to thank you because you hit a home run. another saying that's kind of guided my life. My father, who attends this church, took me to a speaker over in Mobile, Alabama, at an auditorium over there. The place was full of people. And it was this famous guy called Zig Ziglar. You've probably heard of him. He's a motivational speaker. And one of those things, I was 16 or 17 years old, and one of those things that Zig Ziglar said was, you can have anything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. It didn't make too much sense to me as a 16, 17-year-old boy. I'm going, wait a second, the world has taught me that it's all about me. It's not about helping other people to help me. It's about me. And if I got to stand on people to get to where I want, I'm going to do it. But after a couple of years, I started emulating, trying to follow in the footsteps of some people that I admired and I wanted to copy, and I wanted to follow in their success. And I felt like, you know, that service is really important. And it started to make sense to me. And I volunteered here at this church. In my early 20s, I volunteered in the youth group. And I started helping out in that youth group. And it just so happened that there was this girl who also volunteered. Her name was Kelly Schumpert. And she was a local teacher here at the Todd Elementary School. And somehow, some way, I convinced her to marry me. You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want. After Kelly and I got married, I started off in my real estate career, and I met this guy named Franklin Biggs. I sold a few pieces of property for him. He was about 45 years older than me, but we had a great friendship. And he knew we didn't have much. In fact, everything, when I got married, everything I owned fit in my two-door Chrysler Laser hatchback. And I still had room for a couple passengers. Kelly had this tin folding table, and it was our dining room table. It was our kitchen table. It was the only table we owned. She put a piece of cloth over it to kind of hide it and make it look nice. Folks, this gentleman, Franklin Biggs, called me up on the phone one day and said, my wife and I just bought a condo at Sandestin. Would you like to come over and pick out some furniture? We're going to redo it. We're going to get rid of everything. I said, sure. When he opened that door, I spotted this glass top table that had six upholstered chairs, and it had this china cabinet over in the corner. I said, ooh, if I could get that. And we started walking through the house and everything. And he goes, so Mark, what do you want? I said, and I was shy in those days, and I'm going, oh, if I could, Mr. Biggs, if I could just have that dining room table and those six upholstered chairs, I would appreciate it so much. He said, it's yours. I turned around and I started to walk out that door. And he said, wait, Mark, before you close that door, realize that when you do close that door, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call the Salvation Army and I'm going to have them get everything out of here. Folks, I may be dumb, but I am not stupid. I looked that man in his two eyeballs and I said, if you will give me 1 hour, I will go back to Fort Walton Beach and I will get the biggest U-Haul I can find. I came back to that condo and I took the three beds, I took two couches, I took chest of drawers, end tables, lamps, I took the comforters off the bed, I took the pillows, I took the darn curtains off the wall. I even took the curtain rods. When I got done with that place, it looked like the Grinch had stole Christmas. Fast forward with me, please. My daughter, Anna, is entering the middle school, and God kicks me into service again. And for 10 years, I volunteered with the youth group. My main thing, I volunteered on Sunday night and all that good stuff, but my main thing, Wayne Walker asked me if I would do the 6th and 7th grade boys' Bible study. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to teach the high school kids. But I did it anyway, and I fell in love with it. It was my passion. That season of my life ended, but a young man, I went to Chick-fil-A about 2 years ago, and this has happened to me several times with these young men. But I remember this young man, he was behind the counter at Chick-fil-A, and he saw me and he started to walk around, and that young man came over and he gave me a big old hug. 16, 17-year-old boys don't do that in the middle of a busy Chick-fil-A. It is uncool. But he proceeded to tell me, excuse me, what a difference I had made in his life. Folks, I didn't make a difference in his life. He's wrong. Listen to me. You made a difference in his life by supporting the youth group and hiring two fantastic youth directors in Wayne Walker and Adam Mills. And they poured into those youth. All I did is tell silly stories like I'm telling right now. Play a lot of basketball. And I pointed them in my feeble way to the only person that I know that could help him. And that's my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I stand before you, a humble man, and I thank you because you are part of my testimony. I am a product of this church. I thank you for the love that you have showered on my family. I thank you for the encouragement and the opportunities that you have given my kids. But more importantly, and listen to me, church. More importantly, I thank you for what you have done and what you are going to do in the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead of us in service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you.